Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A reminder as we go through the season of Pentecost this summer that we'll be following the Gospel of Matthew for the sermons, and particularly paying attention to that first proclamation of Jesus as he comes out of the wilderness that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of heaven has come near. And for those who are joining us for Bible study on Sunday mornings at 9, or at noon over at Hope, you can join us there too. We'll be studying the Old Testament readings for our Bible study. So a couple of different things going on there that you can pay attention to and follow along. But today we look at Jesus and sending the disciples who become the apostles. And there's a significant thing that's happening with the kingdom of heaven, with Jesus, the reign and rule of Jesus in the land as we encounter it today here in our gospel reading. And the word I want to pay close attention to, and you may get sick of hearing it by the end of this sermon, but the word is authority, because it's a significant word in the kingdom of heaven, and as Jesus is sending his disciples, there's a particular authority by which Jesus sends his disciples. He doesn't just give them, you know, any old authority. He gives them a particular kind of authority, and it's the authority that Jesus has. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, so go and make disciples and baptize and teach." But where does that authority come from? Where does the authority of Jesus start? And what does it look like? Because it's a particular kind of authority. It's a special kind of authority. And the authority that Jesus has is one that he brings into the world being the Son of God, being conceived in Mary by the Holy Spirit, being God and man. He brings the authority of the Father. He brings the authority of God with him. And he'll even say, "It's not my authority, it's the Father's authority in me that I'm using, that I have been given to do this stuff." As he says at the end of Matthew, you know, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." It's not that he somehow snatched it or exploited it or somehow, got it in some weird coercive way. It's that he was given this authority as God and man on earth. So he has all authority over all things. And we see this in the rest of the Gospels and in the Gospel of Matthew when he has the miraculous things that he does. So he has authority over those who are sick. He has authority over the diseases, because all he has to do is say, "You are well," or "Get up and walk," or "You can see," or "You can hear," and it happens, because he has authority over the created world, including people and the various ailments we have. He has authority over the created world when he stands up in the boat and tells the storm to be quiet, and it does. It listens to him. And when he curses the fig tree that it doesn't have any figs on it, and the fig tree withers and dies, the tree listens to him, the storms listen to him, the wind listens to him and does what he says and tells it to do. Nobody else has that authority. Only Jesus. The prophets in the Old Testament had been given pieces and parts of that authority over things, but not complete like Jesus has. Jesus heals with a word. He raises the dead. He has authority over life and death as he raises Lazarus with just a word. Lazarus, come out, and there he is. He has authority over death itself. Again, nobody has that authority but Jesus. Not in the complete way that he has. So we know by what we see Jesus doing that he has the divine authority of the Creator, as he has authority over all of creation. And not only that, but he has authority over the unseen things as well. When he tells demons to get out, they do. They listen to him. In fact, they're afraid of him. He has such authority that even the demons tremble at his presence and at his word. No one else has that kind of authority. The big question with Jesus' authority, being God on earth, he could do whatever he wanted, say whatever he wanted, go wherever he wanted, and have whatever he wanted, but he exercises his authority with compassion. All the time, it's with compassion. He exercises his authority not necessarily to prove to the people who he is, although that's sometimes the result. He exercises his authority not to gain or to become rich, like people often do. He exercises his authority with compassion. When people cry out, "Lord, have mercy on us," he does. When people are saying, "Well, I haven't walked in 30 years, and he says, "Get up and walk." It's out of compassion that Jesus exercises his authority. Not out of greed, not out of power, not out of control, not to prove or to be the best at anything. He simply has compassion on the creation. It says it here in our reading today that he saw the people who were like sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on him. And I know you've heard me use this description of compassion before, but it's sort of the vocabulary of the Greek, is that his insides came outside is how it's described as passion. When people say my heart goes out to them, that's compassion. When Jesus says it, it's his insides go outside. It's kind of a gross picture, but it shows the depth of what it is he's feeling for the people. He doesn't pity them in the sense of, "Oh, you poor unfortunate souls." His insides go outside to them. And he exercises his authority with compassion. Now we compare this in our scriptures with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Romans and the Herodians and all of those who were in charge, who exercised their authority for power and for control and out of fear and out of anger and out of all of the different things that the humans in our scriptures have exercised their authority to use. You see rulers killing all kinds of people. You see rulers as pharaohs throwing children into the river. You see out of fear that Herod sends an army to slay all of the two-year-old and younger boys that were born in Bethlehem. Out of fear, people exercise their authority. Out of fear, people exercise their power and control. And we're not that different. Now, we all have varying levels of authority in our various vocations, but we often react the same. It's out of fear that we decide to get tough. It's out of anger that we say and do things that we later regret or later feel bad about or have to apologize for. It's Father's Day today, right? So we think of our fathers and our relationships with our fathers and children, and we think of all of the times that we could have, would have, should have done something differently. We exercised our authority improperly. We exercised our authority sinfully. And that's the problem with us as people. That's the problem with the people in scriptures too that Jesus encounters, is that all sorts of authority is exercised improperly and used sinfully, and sometimes even out of the best of intentions. And that's the other thing too, we always have, you know, we're good Christians, so we want to do the right thing, and we know, but sometimes it doesn't work that way. We exercise our authority and control, and it hurts people. Jesus exercises his authority with compassion, and we are so glad he does. Because God, as creator of the heavens and the earth, and I've said this before too, but he could, in his will, in his divine sovereignty, as some people are liking to say, is you messed up, so I squish you. I smite. He, in a divine judgment, in righteousness, God can act in the way that he wants to. We're thankful that he doesn't, that he acts through Jesus. And the divine mercy and grace is what we experience more so than the divine wrath and retribution. Authority and control and power go hand in hand, and yet it's how we exercise them that makes the big difference. Jesus takes a big risk in our gospel reading today. He gives to his 12 disciples, these 12 guys, these four fishermen, this tax collector, this zealot who is looking to overthrow the government, that's Simon the Canaanian. He was a member of a group that was looking to militarily overthrow the Herodians. He gives these guys, did you notice what he gives them? He gives them authority. What? God, out of your divine wisdom, you decide to give this rabble group authority? What's the risk? What is the risk that God takes by giving these people authority? He takes a huge risk because now they can do what Jesus has been doing. And there's always the temptation. Well, I'll heal you for this amount. Well, I'll do this. I'll get you up and walking, but it's going to cost you. Now, we do see that at work today, don't we? This authority that some claim to have to heal and to raise and to do all of these things, and yet it's all about the money. They're not exercising authority with compassion. They're exercising authority for greed. But notice what Jesus does. After he gives them authority, he says, no gold, no silver, no copper, no belt. You will get nothing to do this. He knows. He knows the propensity for human beings to seek gain, to seek power, to seek control, to seek fame. And just in this little amount of these 12 guys, in the middle of all of this world, he gives these 12 guys this authority with very specific instructions. They're to exercise their authority with compassion. They're sent to heal the sick and every affliction. They're even given the authority to raise the dead. They're given the authority to cast out demons. But they're to do so with compassion and for the sole purpose of proclaiming the kingdom of heaven. That's what they have the authority to do, to go and proclaim, and while they're doing that, to heal, to raise, to cast out the evil. But the important piece of the authority is the proclamation of the word, the proclamation of the kingdom of heaven, to tell people about Jesus. That's the authority that they have. And they use it. And they're excited about it. In one of the other Gospels, it records that they came back and they were so excited at the power that they had over evil and they could cast out demons and they listened and it was amazing. And Jesus says, wait. Don't be too excited about that. That's not the exciting part. The exciting part is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not that you had power or control or authority, but that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is recorded among the saved, the people of God. That's what's important. That's the authority that we have. In our baptisms, in hearing the word, in growing up in the faith or experiencing the faith anew, God gives you and I, believe it or not, authority. Through his presence in our hearts, in our lives, through the indwelling and abiding of the Holy Spirit in each one of us, we have authority. But to do what? What is the authority that God gives us as his people? It's the authority of the proclamation of the kingdom of heaven. That's the authority we have. Now, some can exercise that, and I believe that there are still healings that happen. And yes, there are demons in the world that need to be cast out. And I believe those things happen. But that's the authority that has been given to those. To us, the authority is the proclamation, the kingdom of heaven. The authority to go tell people about Jesus. Not in some, you know, mountaintop shouting with a megaphone kind of thing, but to tell people about Jesus as you go about life, to proclaim the kingdom of heaven, to tell people about Jesus and what he's done for them, what he's done for you. Authority is not something to be exercised with power and control in mind or greed. Those temptations are there all the time. The authority we have been given as God's children is the proclamation of the word. And notice at the end of our reading today, Jesus says, don't be afraid of what to say or what to speak when you're pulled in front of authorities, when you're brought in front of people, when you have the opportunity to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. Don't be worried about what you're to say, because who is going to speak through you? Notice what he says. It's the Spirit of the Father who will speak through you. I know a lot of times we worry about proclaiming the kingdom of heaven because we don't know if we have all of the answers. We don't know if we have the right words. We're not very eloquent, or we haven't really, you know, kind of grasped it ourselves. And yet, here's Jesus saying, you go. And don't worry about what words come out, because it's the Spirit of the Father that's speaking through you. So it can be something as simple as, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It could be something as complicated as the Athanasian Creed, if you happen to have that memorized. I don't know, but it could be all sorts of things, all sorts of ways that the authority of God is exercised through us, given to us in our baptisms to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. Now, as a pastor, Here's some of the weird stuff about church, right? I have authority to speak the kingdom of heaven to you. I have the responsibility to speak the kingdom of heaven to you. But does that mean that I'm the only one? No. In fact, we are a priesthood of all believers, a holy nation. We are all the ones to proclaim the kingdom. I just happen to do this up here on Sunday mornings. It's my call to do this. But you have the call to proclaim. Not only do you have the call, but you have the authority to proclaim the kingdom of heaven to all of the ears that so desperately need to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and minds always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.